amazing artwork that's in the sky. And today there were these clouds along, actually this way. We came this way, so they were over here somewhere. And above it is beautiful blue. And the top of the clouds are white, and the bottom of the clouds are not. They're gray. And we were saying to each other, there's times when you're in the rain cloud and it's wet and it's dark and it's gray. And you have to always remember there is the blue on top. And that's the same word, Kathy, in a way, as what you heard.
There is a sky above, a blue sky, a sun. There is glory above the clouds, no matter how dark the clouds are. There is glory to be seen. Here, Estella, catch this. This is Estella. Everybody say good morning to Estella.
Good morning.
Now, let me ask you a question, Estella. Has Ron said good morning to you yet or greeted you this morning yet?
With a kiss, yes.
With a kiss? Oh, my goodness. Now, you get extra points for that, you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Sal.
When we were in the prayer room before services, as Pastor was talking, I realized that the more I come to service with intent, searching, hungry for information about what is going to fill the spaces that feel they need help, the easier it is to recognize it when I hear it. And so I'm able to get more and more out of service when I come hungry for that and have great intention. That's what I was hearing.
So I believe you're going to hear some stuff today that'll straighten you out. And starting tomorrow, you get two kisses in the morning. I got an email this morning from my brother, Vic. Anybody interested in the email from my brother, Vic? Okay. Here's Brother Vic's a greeting this morning to me. I've put my glasses on because, you know, he writes small in my computer. He opens right up with these words. It started when I was almost asleep. I heard him say, Satan or my flesh tempting me, you have to do this and then you'll sleep better later. My thinking went like this, well, maybe we will deal with this in the morning. I turned over and after a short time I went sound asleep. And the issue that was in question was that he had saw on his calendar something marked on his calendar, and he couldn't read what it was saying and didn't know what it was saying, and neither he nor Ruthie could figure out what this thing was on the calendar, but there it was, and he's going to go to bed and go to sleep, except that, what's this thing on the calendar? And I think it's November 4th or something like, yeah, November 4th. I had written an appointment on the calendar for November 4th, but neither Ruth nor I could remember or read what I had put there. You know, my wife does that too in our calendars. There's things on the calendar that I can't read. And we get the magnifying glass out and then she can figure it out sometimes. Anyways, neither Ruth nor I could read it. In the night, I had a dream about hearing the Lord's voice. And he said, it's like your hearing aids. When you put them in your ears, it's an intentional decision that you make so that you can hear better, right? And he responds, well, yes, of course. That's the reason I got them. And God goes on, well, that is exactly why my Father put the Holy Spirit into you. It is our intentional decision to do this so that you can hear our voice. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can't hear, but because my Spirit lives in you, you can hear me speaking to you. Selah. You know what that means? Think about that for a while. Then I heard him say, your appointment on November 4th is your hearing aids. Check it out and see if I'm right. And so when I got up this morning, I checked it out, and sure enough, that is what I wrote. And I could even read it. I couldn't make it out before, but with good hearing comes good seeing. And so that was this morning's thing. And so, Estella, when you talked about coming with expectation to hear, you just put your hearing aids in. And you come with the with hearing aids tucked in with the expectation of hearing from the Lord, and you will. And Ron will kiss you twice in the morning. Isn't that good news? Well, at least some of it's good news. I just before we go on with the worship service, George, am I stalling too much? I'm doing fine. See, do I get a raise or not?
No,
no raise. I just wanted. Did you have something you wanted to share? Yeah, that's why I gave you the mic, but I wanted you to pray too. But go ahead and share first.
I just wanted to say that Isaiah 43 goes along with just what Kathy was saying. You are mine. I called you by name. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. And that goes right along with what the Lord was saying about the darkness.
For I am the Lord your God. Can you quote that to me, Betsy? Yeah. All right. I just like to hear the words. And it's exactly that. God takes his task seriously. He chooses to draw us into himself. And he chooses to take real good care of us.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name.
Hey, what's your name?
Mine.
Mine!
You are mine.
You can read that to say that you belong to me, or you can read that to say that that's
I
start again. Go ahead.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I don't know how far you want me to go.
That's good enough. That's good enough. And I want you to know that in his givingness, he gave his own son for you. He gave an other as well as others. Now that's significant, to consider that he wanted you so bad that he gave his son to redeem you. First of all, Pat, would you give thanks for that truth? God gave his son to redeem us.
Father, we do have such grateful hearts for how much you love us and what you've done for us, and that you've laid down your life for our very salvation. You are a good, good God all the time. Whatever the circumstances, you are with us. You lead us. You go before us. And we thank you with grateful hearts that you are in the midst of our service today, Lord. And you will give us good food, and we will be nourished as we go out from here. And we thank you in advance for the message today. And blessings on everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And, well, you've got the mic there, Mike. Mike has the mic. Would you offer a prayer this morning for our nation? You know that the world is a mess. Has anybody figured that out yet? Any place you want to look is disaster place. But you want to know what? God says, I got you covered. And he says that to his children all around the world. I got you covered. And I'd just like you, Mike, would you just pray for our nation, for the president, and the nations around the world, that the purposes of God would be accomplished in those places, and that he'd bring order out of disorder. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just ask that you would bring your peace into each and every nation in this entire world, that you would be with the leadership in all of those nations, that they would be able to communicate according to what you have in
that's mind right
with each other. Mm-hmm. And we thank you and praise you for all that you do for this nation and for all the nations in the world. And we ask that you continue to do so. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. Let's worship the Lord together. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our worship and praise.
That he is. God we serve. What an amazing and faithful God.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion.
Merciful. He changes not. His compassions, they never fail. Mom wanted me to repeat out of that Isaiah section that you're precious in my sight. I honor you and I love you. He changes not in that. And every day, his mercies are refreshed. New mercies for you and for me every day. What a good God.
Could we just for a moment, individually, personally, imagine ourselves as being precious to God? I mean, honored. I mean, can you figure that out? And you know, you say, oh, yeah, right. You know, but this is the word of God. This is the scripture. You are precious in my sight and honored.
Just close your eyes for a moment. And in that place where there's a little less distraction, look to the Father. See his precious love and honor toward you. See yourself as honored and loved, precious before him. You're so good, Father.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
There's a verse of scripture that I read this week in my Bible. I do read my Bible once in a while, but you know what I keep finding is that even though I've read the Bible repeatedly for a lot of number of years, I still keep finding verses that have been added since I last read it or something. At any rate, listen to this verse. I wonder if you knew this was in there. We have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. That's New American Standard. Just in case you don't like New American, I'll go to New Living Testament. Our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. Well, if you don't like that one, we'll go to King James. Here we go with King James. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Interesting words. And I'm not one who believes that everybody in the whole wide world is going to get saved. I don't think it says he's the Savior of all men, that everybody is going to get saved. That's not my theology. But I do recognize something in that verse. He is working at the salvation of every single person. He is reaching to save, reaching to save, reaching to save, reaching to save, and especially for those that believe. And that's good news. We said a moment ago to think about ourselves as being precious to him, honored by him. Let me tell you, no matter where you are in the process, you're precious enough so that he's reaching to save you. And if you're only halfway there, he's reaching to save. And if you're 90%, he's reaching to save. And he especially has a special love for those that believe. He's the Savior of all mankind, especially for those that believe. And you know, I do find it hard to believe that he would see me as precious and honored in his sight. You know, I mean, I know too much about me. He knows all that too, but I am precious to him, and he's the Savior who is reaching to save and has accomplished a little bit of that in me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship his holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy. And my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise on a day. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never. So wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are.
Captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing
nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love.
Even now we speak to our souls and we say to our souls, you worship, bless, love, adore, sing to, delight in, worship God. Soul, bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. Life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, He is my song. You are good. The wind inside my sails, the air.
Better than we ever understood. You're better than we even know now. You're good.
Okay.
Good. So, so good, God. So good.
You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Son and the power of the cross. We believe in your blood and what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come here on earth. Will of God be done. Oh, we will ascend your holy mountain. We will stand in your presence. Speak to the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have for those who believe. For those who believe. Your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. In love with you. We believe in your Son and the power of the cross. We believe in your blood and what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. We're on earth. Will of God be done. Oh, we will ascend your holy mountain. We will stand in your presence and speak to the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have. Your holy mountain, we will stand in your presence and speak to the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have for those who
Father, we are those, your children. Before you, we place our hearts. We believe. We believe. Everything you have for us, we believe. Everything you speak to us, we believe. We choose to receive from you. We love you and we believe you. Amen.
That has the words, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. During that song, in particular, Peter felt like that was the word of the Lord. And, of course, I'd like us just to, would you put that up again? All my life, you've been so, so good. What happened to
God? Is what it is called.
We lost our projectionist. Do we have it up? Oh, we're fast. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. I'd just like you to. We sing the song. That's fine. It's good to sing songs. That's good. We sang it. Whoopee. Now, I'd like you to read those, particularly those two phrases. And I want to know, can you really say that concerning God? All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Say it again. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I wished I was as faithful in that as he is in his part. You know, it's he is faithful. It's so good. Anyways, Peter felt like that was a significant time, and we receive that word. We declare it. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. That's the God we serve. I'm going to ask, I'd like us to do something really silly today. Are you up to being silly? You may remember a story. I think, did you find it, Betsy? You did. Very good. Thank you for your phone. You know, God talks out of the phone sometimes. Was it Elijah or Elisha? Elisha. By the way, how you remember which one came first? The alphabet. J comes before S. Now you know which one came first. So this is the second one who had double the anointing of the first one. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Now you know. You can. And if anybody ever asks you, you say, I know which one came first. Like you lived there, you know. Okay, so Elisha came to the king who? King Joash. And I think Joash is sick at the time. Is that right? Oh, my goodness. I need to read my Bible once in a while. Read it to us a little bit. Go ahead.
When Elisha became sick with the illness, of which he was to die, Joash
Joash, king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hand on the king's hand. And he said, open the windows to the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, A-R-A-M, Aram.
Aram.
For you shall defeat the Arameans at Apek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. Elisha died, and they buried him.
End of story. Isn't that an incredible story? So what's the point? I was trying to find reason for doing what we're about to do. And so I found it in the Bible. We don't have any arrows here, but we do have swords. And so we're gonna take the swords. And Mr. Zimmerman and Mrs. Zimmerman, would you take one of these swords? All right, I'd like you to open the door and hold it open and go outside the door. And when it's time to strike, you strike, okay? And George, would you take this sword here and strike on the inside? And you don't need to go outside the door. You just need to do it, okay? The story is this morning, actually last night, this was sent to George and I last night from Paula. And it's a prophetic word from Lana Vauser. And the prophetic word says strike. And it says strike several times. And so you want to try that? Don't ruin the point because we got to, but we need to, because we need to use that. Okay, so we've got people that are going to strike. And each time you hear the word strike, but I want you to hear, there's so many times, I'm going to confess my sins. I think you're supposed to do that once in a while, but...
I'm not sure you're supposed to do it in front of the whole church today.
Oh, I'm not supposed to do that?
I guess for you it'll work out.
But, I've heard so many encouraging words and the clouds keep coming and you get another encouraging word and you get tired of encouraging words. And so you say, oh, here's another one. Well, here's one more encouraging word which came to us from Paula. And I just want to read one part of the encouraging word that then we'll get there again if I can find it. I found it before because I wanted to be able to read it. Yep, here it is. In the middle of the word, or near the end, it says, there is a mighty move of his spirit upon you in striking the ground. All right, listen to, here's the word, in striking the ground. The dam is about to break, and tidal wave of his spirit is about to move with such acceleration, bring in the greatest alignments in your life and release you into a new level of acceleration, empowerment, and increase in your area. Does that word, the dam breaking, ring a bell?
It was an old prophecy.
And this is just thrown out at us. And so we're going to grab that and remember the old prophecy. It was David Cartledge around 2002, I'm not sure, about something like that.
I don't remember, yep.
And the prophecy was that there's a dam that's holding back the great blessing of God, I would say, the move of God, and the dam has a crack in it, and the dam is about to burst, and it's referring to...
And you have to hit the dam.
Strike the dam.
Yeah, hit the dam wall is what he said.
He actually says, hit the dam wall. Well, he meant it nicely, you know, but every time you say it, it sounds like the wrong way. But anyways, when I read this morning, the prophetic word from Lana Vassar, I thought, even as I began to read it, here we go. Instead of being discouraged, I began to be encouraged and encouraged and encouraged. And when I finally got to the damn wall, I was, it would take something to make me do a cartwheel, but, you know, that was going on the inside. So, okay, guys, when we say the word strike.
We'll strike.
We'll strike. And remember the story out of the Bible. The king was supposed to strike with the arrows, and he did it three times. And the man of God said, you messed up, because he only win three times. And so we're going to do this. And so you guys, each time I say the word, that special word, do the special thing, okay? All right, here we go. This is Lana Vassar, and it was yesterday's word which we received. Lana Vassar put it out yesterday, and I received it last night, and I read it this morning. Recently, I heard the Lord say, strike the ground. Don't wear out the carpet. And the sense surrounding me strongly that this was the final strike. I felt like the Holy Spirit say many times before, in such an intense battle of late, and many have been hit again in many directions. The Lord showed me that many are facing an increase in the things standing against their promises in the last few weeks. He showed me that many are feeling like suddenly the manifestation of His promise feels even further away than ever. I saw many in a fight over their promise, fighting hard against fear, discouragement, despair, and confusion. And the Lord so spoke to me that there is a final strike happening in two dimensions. There is a final strike on the enemy, hitting many harder than ever before in the area of promise, and to cage them into discouragement and despair, because this actually is the final strike to see the breaker manifest. There's a major shift taking place in the spirit in the earth right now and in the lives of His people. The enemy wants us to cage you in fear, in unbelief, in doubt, in despair, in discouragement. Whatever it takes, strike the ground again. Strike the ground again and the land will be yours. I heard the Holy Spirit said, strike the ground again. And the land will be yours. The Lord showed me that there's a major battle going on in the spirit right now over ownership. The Lord wants to give you a new land. The Lord wants to lead you into your inheritance and into your territory for you to occupy it. This battle over territory is because this new territory that you are stepping onto and into is going to be your place of greatest fullness and alignment. There is a significant impartation waking for you in your land of inheritance, in your new territory, your place of promise. And the enemy is trying to keep you from it, but it will not happen as you strike the ground. I am canceling all the false starts, reviving you and establishing you to not be uprooted again. In the spirit, I hear the sound of a car starting, and as it went to start, it was suddenly cut out. I kept hearing this happening over and over and over again. It reminded me of what happens when a car's battery is about flat. I asked the Lord what He was saying, and He whispered to me, I am canceling the false starts. I am reviving my people, establishing them to not be uprooted again, and to accelerate in the wind of my spirit. I am empowered further that they will be empowered further than they ever have been. This is their season to run with me. I was suddenly surrounded by Amos 9:15. I will plant them on their land and they will never again be rooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. And the Lord spoke again, strike the ground again. Can you hear the sound of inheritance? The Lord is releasing the deeds of ownership in the Spirit. The things that have your name on it, the promises of the Lord, the territories, the new ventures, the new lands that you will occupy. He is releasing them now, and the battle is over that ownership. So I encourage you, rise up, stand up, and strike the ground again with your prayers and your decrees and your authority, for you are about to be led into what is yours. What he has spoken is yours, and not be moved from it again, ever again. That is why the battle is so intense, because this time you will occupy. There's a mighty move of his Spirit upon you in the striking of the ground. The dam is about to break, and the tidal wave of his Spirit is about to move in such acceleration, bringing the greatest alignments of your life and the release into your new level of acceleration, empowerment, and increase as he has for you in this new era. There is fullness like you have never known. You will flourish in Christ with a new territory he has for you. Strike the ground again. There is major financial provision being released to build with him like never before. The Lord showed me that there's a major financial breakthrough and provision that is being released to build with him like never before. The Lord is going to release the provision for the vision that he has given you. The provision he is releasing will enable the people of God to build the blueprints for which he has released, and other kingdom ventures that he is going to reveal, and others that have been put on a back burner because of lack of finances. The Lord is going to show himself strong and be as a provider to build. And he is building to see his kingdom extended like never before in the blueprints that he has released. Ask for wisdom, the stewardship of the provision as you follow the wisdom of God. There will be mighty multiplications as you've never seen. Strike the ground again. So, silliness. And yet, if God decrees and says, strike the ground, you better do it. And so we have done it. And it really does sound silly. And if somebody outside this fellowship hears about it, they'll say, man, that must have been stupid. Well, the scripture tells the story of a time when stupid meant the whole difference between Israel's victories and the work of God in Israel. Go ahead.
About 2 weeks ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, a woman came up to me. In the dream, a woman came up to me, and she handed me a box. And I knew that inside the box were all the prayers, the answers to prayers that she had been praying for family members, and I mean, it was all the answers, but she hadn't received them in her lifetime. And she handed me the box, and I was like, no, I can't take this. This is yours. And she said, no, you take it. And she got all excited because she knew what was coming to the enemy, and she was happy to be handing off all of what she had put in prayer. And then another little old lady came and she touched my feet and she spoke a word over me, which was a prayer that she'd been praying all her life. And then a gentleman came and he put something on me, and I could see that they were all like waiting for this. And so I looked to see where they were all coming from, and there was a crack in a wall. And they were sneaking out of that crack. And I began to realize that the wall was like falling toward me because of the piles and piles of prayers that hadn't been answered yet. But they were pushing that wall down. And so I turned around and I struck the wall in a different direction than I had before, where I struck it so that it was hitting the same way that the prayers had been piling up and piling up and piling up. I just think that this thing that is about to happen isn't just from our prayers, but from
yes,
long past prayers.
Yes.
everybody, and it's going to be worldwide. And if you think about how big our God is and how he's been piling that up, one little shove from him, oh, man, we better be ready.
Yeah. And that is, that dream that you've just shared is not unique to you. It's I've heard or similar things being spoken prophetically, that there is a pressure that has been building by saints before us. And that pressure is bringing forth the purposes of God. We will see that day. And so I'd like us just to recognize this morning that what we did here this morning was take a hold of something that God has been speaking, has spoken, and say, it is ours. We will see that accomplished in our day, in our lives. Now, I want to go back to one of the first things that we covered here this morning. I don't know if you get to preach or not. Maybe not. You'll get in just a moment. Tom's word. And Tom had a word from the Lord where the Lord said to him, keep your mouth shut unless you're speaking the real word of the Lord. Don't blab a lot. What's that?
You haven't learned to bridle your tongue.
Bridle your tongue. Don't just go blabbing. And so not interested in blabbing, because I heard what Tom was saying this morning. I thought that was a very clear, be careful what you say. Don't go blabbing stuff that you say, thus saith the Lord, if the Lord hasn't said it. But I do believe that we are hearing something this morning, Lana Vosser and then Jocelyn, that God is up to something that is the fulfillment of generational prayers and cries of the people of God over the generations. And if we understand what he's saying today, is that I'm going to pull it off in your day. And so I'd like us to give thanks this morning and acknowledge that we are those who want to open our hearts to receive all that God has promised. Father, we thank you for, once again, the word of the prophetic that is encouragement. And we are encouraged. We look at the words over the years and we recognize that you have been speaking. And again this morning, speaking and declaring that you are about to do something. And we say, Lord, let it begin. Once again, we strike the wall that the word of the Lord would come through and accomplish the purposes of God. We recognize and we honor those who have gone before, who've prayed and believed and not seen the fulfillment. And we thank you that we today will see and benefit from the faithfulness of others over the years. And today we would reach out and take a hold of the promise of God in Jesus' name. And all the people say, amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Before we move on too far, can I just say that you said this seems silly.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks several times about it. I mean, think about, you know, walking around Jericho. And that seemed really silly.
Oh, yeah. Nothing's going to happen. Go round and round and round, walking in circles.
But then I thought of Gideon. And that was not silly. That was utterly ridiculous.
That was suicidal. I mean, when you start off with 32,000 and end up with 300, that's suicidal.
And then announce your presence.
Yeah. Say, blow a trumpet and hold it. Put a fire up so they'll know where you are.
What I thought, though, in looking at Gideon, is that he did, in the beginning, what you've done here, what George and Jocelyn, we did as a corporate, struck the ground as instructed. And Gideon cut his, you know, that was his decision in a corporate sense, but the head of the organization did it. Gideon said,
yep.
Okay, you guys go home.
There we go.
And then he did it again. You guys go home.
Yep.
But then it was up to the individuals to follow the rest of the silliness.
Oh, boy.
And I thought that I was thinking of me and my situations and that I need to go home and strike the ground for those promises that God has said to me.
Yes.
And to be faithful to follow through with the striking of the ground. I don't know if that I need a sword and I need, maybe no. I need a shovel and I need to go, you know, he said, I'm going to build this in your life. I need to go shovel. I don't, you know, each of us is different. But I think that doing it corporately is a great thing. But I think we need to buy it individually and go home and smash that lantern, because individually, those guys had to smash their lanterns.
Yeah.
Or their the vase over their torch. Yeah.
And so I just thought that was interesting. They declared it in that story. They broke the pitcher that covered the torch, and they said, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And so we have issues in our lives, all of us, and there are different areas, whole different areas. But we release the purposes of God by saying, "The sword of the Lord," and of Gideon, but "the sword of the Lord, according to your promise." We release the power of God into those various areas. We expect to see God participate in this thing. Last week we declared, "The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns." Remember that? And well, this week we're saying it. The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns in each of our individual lives and individual struggles and individual areas of need, as well as the corporate need. The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns, and He reigns in this place. Take it home with you.
I want to just review that word just briefly, because it rings for me. And I know that for a number of you, for certain me, but I know that for a number of you, the last weeks have been weeks of serious opposition and significant enemy messing with us. And that's in the background of this Lanavaza word, that that there's been just serious pushback. If there's been pushback, then we know that the Lord has a forward movement for us. You guys know that we've believed for a long time. Even I love that David Cartledge word about the dam. And we've believed in the word of the Lord over us for many years. I don't know how long it's been, but 10 or 15. We're still waiting to see that. We believe. We're still expecting. It's a right place to be to continue to believe in the face of seeing something else. It's a right place to be. That word talked about canceling false starts, and you guys all know that, last week I told you guys, she says something about, establishing you not to be uprooted again. Just last week I told you that over in Africa, 50% of those trees and 80% of those trees got uprooted and flowed down with the mud flow, okay? And we just had just such a, resistance. You also know that we're just going to go forward. We're going to believe. We're going to move ahead. To give you an update on that, there's actually still been some rain until like yesterday, such that we had a hard time getting people into the fields and do stuff. But in the meantime, we took the finances that you guys contributed as the special offering, not even for our fields and our issues, but for the neighboring ones and the neighboring people. I just wanted to show you a quick video of that. We ministered to like 80 people in the nearby region, getting them some seeds and some, because they got to start all over too. Everybody's got to get a fresh start. And so 80 people showed up to receive the love of the Lord and to expect something a little bit better than real serious difficulty. You know, when the stuff that you were going to eat gets buried or gets, runs on down the hill, with the rest of your dirt, it's a problem. For us, we actually were the recipients of a lot of dirt. Okay, we actually ended up getting kind of piled on. But 80 people came and were rejoicing at the provision of the Lord through you. And I know that there are principles there, and I know that the Lord inspired us to contribute, not just to redo what we need to redo in order to make the ministry over there work and support itself, but to go beyond that and to sow further. There's something right and righteous about worrying about somebody else's needs even before you get your own needs taken care of. There's something right and righteous about that that's happening. But the whole uprooting and the whole false start thing and the whole... you guys don't even know about all of the different places where investments have been made and pouring out and trying this and just sowing and sowing and sowing and praying and praying and praying. And then sometimes with less than the success that we expected. And yet we continue. You guys may recall in Revelations, there's these huge pots of the prayers of the saints, and they get poured, they get spilled at some point, and God is not unjust. He hears our prayers. Let me just say, there's a story in Acts at the beginning of persecution starting to happen against the church by the Romans. Peter gets grabbed, and they're going to kill him. And the day before they're going to kill him, an angel shows up and opens the gates. But what was happening before the day before? The church was praying. According to Acts, the church was praying fervently, praying. Lots and lots and lots of praying. And then you guys remember, Peter gets out, and he's out at the, it's at night, you know, and he's knocking at the door, remember? And the servant girl shows up, and she's so shocked that, you know, she doesn't believe it. I don't know, she doesn't open the door, and she goes back to the other people, and they're like, oh no, it's probably his ghost. Remember this? Okay? The guy's probably dead, and it's probably just his ghost, you know, saying goodbye or whatever it is that they thought. I don't know what they thought, but they, you know, they thought it was his ghost. Now, I have a question for you. Why didn't they expect Peter? I thought they were praying. Okay? Weren't they praying? Okay. Well, okay, I'll just tell you why they weren't expecting it, okay? It's not because they weren't praying with faith. They were. But they'd kind of gotten used to having the answer being no. Okay? Because they hadn't seen him. They hadn't seen him. And they'd prayed a lot. Okay? There was fervent prayer going on, okay? I just want to encourage you. There comes a time when the prayers are answered. Your God is not unjust. Your Father, who put that on your heart, has heard. I don't understand why there have to be vats of prayers that get filled up. I don't get it, okay? I'm not saying I get it. I just know that that's sometimes how it works. And I want you to know that your God is not unjust, and He has heard your prayers. And when He speaks to you and puts it on your heart, it will be accomplished. Let me just say that there's things that, you know, we get to choose. Some things we get to choose, and some things we don't get to choose, okay? But when God says something, it will happen. Period. All right, so I want to encourage you through that word as well. I have a fairly funny trajectory through this message, and so I just want to encourage you to kind of hang on for the ride because it's a bit of a trajectory. It begins in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul is talking about Jews and Greeks. And, let's just jump right into it. Verse 10, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Are we, the Jews, better than they, the Greeks, or whatever? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And this is where I wanted to get. It is written, there is none righteous, not even one. Right? So that's all of us, right? We were all pretty much not righteous, right? That used to be the case. There is none who understands. That's what it says. Zero. Nobody understands, period. Got it? Simple. There's none who seeks for God. Nobody. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. Okay, so the composite of everyone all together is useless. Okay, I'm just reading what it says. There is none who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps under their lips. Mouths full of cursing and bitterness. Feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Okay, so he paints a pretty unhappy picture, or perhaps a useless, or perhaps a really devastating picture of how we all are. And his point is, you know, it's Jews and Greeks, guys. It's everybody, okay? It's his point. But he says in verse 21, but now, apart from the law, okay, so everything that was in the law, verse 19, it speaks to those under the law so that every mouth can be closed, okay, so nobody has a thing to say. All the world may become accountable to God. Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Nobody gets in by works of the law. Game over. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, be witnessed by both the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. For all who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, so the issue is, nobody understands. Everyone's useless. Period. Everybody. Under the law. And then? Verse 25, this was to demonstrate God's righteousness through Jesus. Because of the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just. Let me just say, he's just. And he did it out of his justice. And he would be just. And the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So where is boasting? Okay, the point here is, you can't do anything that's good then. And now there is no boasting because it's all about faith. It's entirely about faith. It's not at all about works. Got it? So your works don't get it done. And there's no boasting because, well, he says, well then there is boasting. It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. He goes on. Okay, so here's the thing that I want to say to us. Okay. So very often, the church has misrepresented itself. And so I one of my areas that I often will speak to you is I don't want us to misrepresent ourselves. Let me just say to you, it is not because we were useful, or because we understood, or because of any really good thing on our part at all. Zero. None of those things. It's all by faith. Because we believe. And how did we believe? Miraculously, the gift of God came and we believed. Okay, fact. Okay? It's not even your fault, okay, that you believe. There's a gift. Oh, I agree with you. You choose to. There's a truth to that as well. But let me just tell you something. The reality is, it is your faith came not out of you, but out of Father, out of Jesus. His faith came and instilled itself into you, and you believe. There's something that He is the source. You know the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith? Did you know that? It comes out of Him. It's the stuff that comes out of Him that establishes faith in you. So let me just say that so often the church has come across as being pretty good instead of being pretty faith. The church has come across as being pretty smart instead of pretty faith. Okay? And it's all good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we don't get some knowledge. We do. We'll go there, okay, and I'll talk to you about it briefly. But let me just say that the key issue isn't how smart you are. Because you didn't have any understanding, zero. You didn't have any utility, zero. And now the utility that you have and the understanding that you have, if it's not completely married to the faith that you have through Jesus, it's really an admixture that's not doing anybody any benefit. Be careful. It's by faith. There's an event that occurred in Acts chapter 3. Peter runs across some guy. Remember, the guy's begging for alms, and Peter runs across him and says, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In Jesus' name, you know, stand up and walk. He actually grabs the guy and makes him walk, right? And then people get all hoopla and excitement. I don't blame them. That's exciting, okay? But then they kind of overdo it a little bit. And Peter, verse 12, sees this and he replies to the people, "Men of Israel," we'll get back to that in a moment, "men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk?" So Peter's saying, listen, this isn't about stuff inside of me. It's not my power. It's not my piety. Now, he's talking to men of Israel here. And men of Israel were interested in power. And men of Israel were interested in piety. They were, you know, righteousness and righteousness according to the law. You know, they were good people, okay? Let me just tell you, they were good. Everybody else was not so good, but they're good, okay? But Peter, talking to them, says, listen, it's not about my power or my piety, piety being things like my goodness, my holiness, my devoutness, comes from the sense of good adoration of God, good revering of God. Okay, it's none of that that made him well, is what Peter's saying. Now, if he'd been talking to the Greeks, he'd have probably said, it's not because of my smarts, okay? Because you know what? The Greeks are all about their smarts, okay? Let me just say, it's not about our smarts, our piety. It's not about our power, okay, that makes him walk. What he goes on to say, verse 16, he says, on the basis of faith in Jesus' name, he makes two statements. The name of Jesus has strengthened this man. And number two, he says, the faith which comes through him has given him perfect health. So he's made two statements, and I really want to hit on those statements. But I want us to get to the place of understanding that it's not about what we got, or our smarts, or our piety. It's not because you have good doctrine, okay? It's not, that's not it. It's faith. Can I tell you something? You're going to die with bad doctrine. You're not going to be completely right when on your deathbed. I'm just giving you the facts of the case, okay? You'll be wrong about some things when you're dying, okay? Oh, you'll be perfected just on the other side. That's great, okay? So I'm not worried about that, and neither should you be. But neither should you be arrogant about it, okay? Because it's not about your fill in the blank. It is about your faith and who he is. Okay, so there's two things that Peter says. He says, number one, the name of Jesus provides, it says establishes, strengthened. The sense of is actually solidifies. Okay, the verb there has to do with solidification. So let me just say to you, your foundation, your strong foundation, is the nature, i.e. the nature of Jesus. Who he is, who the Father is. That's your foundation. Okay? That's where you become strong. That's where you're established. And the faith, and again, the faith is faith that comes through him. Okay? It's not, so often we think of my faith, which is great, okay? And it is my faith. But let me just tell you something. That faith came from somewhere, and it wasn't you, okay? That faith came from him, and it is his enablement and his faith in you that empowers you in various ways. And in this particular reference, he's saying, this faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health that you see in front of you, okay? So they're rejoicing over this great miracle. And it's faith, the faith that comes through him. All right, so let's just back up real quick. It's not about our utility. It's not about our smarts. Not about our piety. Not about our own power. It's about that which has been put into us. It's his name, which solidifies us. That gives us the place to stand. And it's the faith that comes through him that releases the power to accomplish the miracle. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says it this way. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of Christ. The truth is that your faith, every bit of real faith inside of you, comes out of your hearing the rhema of God. When God speaks something, it's joined inside of you with this faith that comes from him. This rhema and this faith joined together, that's where you get faith. Galatians 3 says it this way. This is verse 2. It says, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is hearing with faith. That's how you got the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, so then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So let me just say to you, the purpose of God is to pour out his powerful stuff through your life. The purposes of God, he wants to empower you, not just to accomplish things inside of you and in your own life, but to distribute his power widely. Pause. You know, many of you know, my heart is to see so much go out. When I try to establish a work, I want that work to establish other works. I want it to not just receive, but it to pour out, and to have those works pour out. And my heart is to see things just go, and then from there go from there, and from there plant seeds. And from why? Because that's the nature of who. Can I just say that's the name of Jesus, okay? That's the nature of how Father does things, okay? He builds something that builds things. He gives life to something that gives life to things, okay? It's a generative principle. It's the name of Jesus.
That's why we struck the ground both inside the four walls and outside the four walls. It's not just supposed to be about here. It's supposed to be about there as well. It's the purpose of God is a lot bigger than this little dinky building.
Well, you guys know it. We pour out. The food pantry. What do? Freely give. Out there. Pour it. The ministries that we support, the pastors' meetings and the various things. We're pushing out, 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 sowing out. You guys did it just this last week. We didn't fix the Living Love Ministries farm, okay? Instead, we sowed, we gave seed for the sowers that were beyond that farm, right? We're looking for something that generates beyond and beyond and beyond. Because that's the nature of our God. You see, that's the nature. That's the name. That's the nature. That's what solidifies us. It's our strength. It establishes us. But then we have the Word of the Lord. And let me just say, He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles does it by hearing with faith. Hearing with faith. You know, some of you have been in classes that Dad or I have taught, classes about, you know, healing, or classes about deliverance, or classes to encourage and move you out into the power, the operative power of the Spirit of God. You probably didn't get through even one session of that series of classes without you hearing, all right, here's some principles, here's some ways, but hear from the Lord. Because you gotta hear and you gotta know what God is saying in this circumstance so that you can operate hearing with faith. Moving out in faith. Why? Because that's the operative principle. Yes, we know His nature. He wants everyone healed. He wants everyone saved. He wants freedom for all of us, right? Fact. It also is a fact that He has a particular order that He's going to do it in. And you know what? Why? Because He's smart. He's smarter than you are. He knows better. He knows the right thing to do. You don't. And so you hear Him, and then you release that way. And you hear Him, and then you release that way. Again and again, God will bring somebody, maybe even because of a physical ailment, so that He can hit a spiritual target, and then, you know, gratis, He throws in the healing over there. Here's the deal. We hear, we believe, and that is the mechanism by which we release. I told you that there's a place to add. I want to go through that really quick. And then get back to where we are here. How do you add to your faith? There is a sequence of adding to your faith. You can see it in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read it to you, starting with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Anybody have some promises? Let me just, before I go on. You should have promises. Did you hear what I said? You should have promises. If you don't have promises in a particular area of concern, then go get some. Talk to Him, because He's got promises for you in that area. Don't be satisfied not having promises. Don't sit around thinking that you should just wait. You should have promises. You see, when the Word comes in and He speaks to you over maybe your child, or over that situation, or over Kenya, or over this or that or the other thing, when the Word comes into you and He gives you the promise, you have something to hold on to and believe until you die. It's a powerful thing to have. Don't let go. And don't go around not having promises. Have promises. Because you know what? The promises of God are powerful. I'm going to read that verse again. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. See, that's the real reason you got to have promises. Yes, you have promises so that you can acquire that territory, that piece of land, that property, that ministry, that, you know, your kid for your, you know, salvation here or healing there or life over here. Yes, you need the promises for those things, but you also need the promises because in holding on to those promises, in believing those in faith, in the process of that faith, you become a partaker of the divine nature. You see, it's through holding on to this valuable promise, precious and magnificent promise, according to this translation, by holding on to these, we become partakers of the divine nature. It's worth having promises, so go get them. Don't you dare live without promises. And you know, if you have an area of your life where you're not sure, go ask him. It's about what he says to you anyway. That's how you become partakers of the divine nature. Anyway, verse 5 goes on. Now, for this reason also, applying all diligence. In other words, work at this. In your faith, supply moral excellence. I have a question for you. Where is faith resident? Go ahead. Where is faith? Where is it? Where does it exist? In your brain? In your heart. Okay, good. That's a good place for it. I'm in there. Okay, it should impact your brain too. You know. Sometimes it squirts out. You can kind of say something or whatever. But where is it? In there. It's in there. Good. In your faith, supply moral excellence. I have a question for you. Where is moral excellence? It's a tricky question. Be careful, because you get it wrong if you don't. And I'll correct you. The truth is, it's on the inside. That's where moral excellence is. It's a heart matter. Okay? Don't get fooled into thinking that it's be. Somebody else has gotta see it in order for it to be there. Yes, it should get out. Okay? But boy, oh boy, what it's about is what's on the inside. And if it's not there, I don't want to see it anywhere else. And if it is there, just be careful. Don't get too religious about it, because suddenly you'll know too much. And faith won't be the center anymore.
It's part of your faith, actually, that moral, it's the believing what God says, who God is and who he is in me.
Bingo.
It creates that.
It creates it because it's his, oh goodness, it just said it right there. It's his name. It's his nature. It's his divine nature that we begin to get, to grab a hold of, okay? And so, essentially, your moral excellence is that which is in, and yeah, it comes out, but be careful. It's not about the coming out as much as it is about the obtaining the divine nature. Okay? And in your moral excellence, knowledge. Where's knowledge reside? Interior. In your knowledge, self-control. Where's that? Inside. In your self-control, perseverance. Inside. Well, you know, I just want to let everybody know how perseverant I am. Here's the deal. When I just let everybody know how perseverant I am, I'm not sure that's self-control or perseverance or anything. Okay? It's on the inside. Get there, okay? And in your perseverance, godliness. Everybody, I'm so godly. No. It's about that. Now we're going to move outwards very soon. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. Yes, that is motivation and it comes out. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And boy, oh boy, love that is impacts a world. So let me just say, yes, all of these things leak. But let them leak at the very end, okay? Mostly, okay? Don't be super smart. Don't be super pious. Don't be the best thing that ever happened to anybody, okay? Be a people of faith and love. And what's in between those? Faith and love? Hope. Be a people of faith and hope and love. What's hope? Anybody know? Hope is the sure expectation that what God has said will be accomplished. That is biblical hope. Hope is, I mean, we often talk about hope like, hey, I hope so. You know, kind of shrug. Well, biblical hope is not a shruggy thing, okay? Biblical hope is a kissing cousin with faith and a kissing cousin with love. Okay, it's right in the middle of that whole thing. Okay, faith and hope and love. There's an assurance that comes from faith that is expressed in hope. Serious expectation. Sometimes I think that for current English, we'd be better off calling hope expectation. Because it is about a certain expectation. You know what? The lady that Jocelyn saw in her dream didn't see yet what she prayed for. She's dead now. Does that mean she's never going to see what she prayed for? Of course it doesn't mean that. She's going to see it. The great cloud of witnesses is sitting there, yes, interceding for us, no doubt, rejoicing in Him, no doubt, but expecting the fulfillment of those promises. We are those who have long sight. We are those who do not see just until death, but we see that there is an eternity that God is accomplishing great things. Faith, hope, and love. So let me say again to you, you want to add something to faith? Well, 2 Peter will tell you how to do it. Keep it on the inside until we get to the end, okay? Don't be this great holy person. Okay? Let that leak out accidentally. Let your godliness be so internal that it dribbles out and, yep, that's fine. You want to do something on the outside, then let love be the expression. 2 Peter, the expression. So, what's my point?
Well, the next verse.
Okay.
Verse 8. We're finally after love.
Yep. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing,
okay, so
they
qualities,
render, go ahead.
The internal qualities
yeah.
are there and yeah. increasing.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah. They will render you not useless.
Not useless.
And not unfruitful. They will render you neither useless nor unfruitful.
Unfruitful. And that fruit will remain.
That's the truth. In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It leaks out, and it accomplishes real.
About the true knowledge, several of the scriptures call it true knowledge, and so I was wondering, what's true knowledge? You know, and it's the word gnosko, which is to know is gnosko, and that's, but it's epigenosko. It's knowing all about it, the whole package. So in other words, you know Jesus Christ. It's a bigger knowledge than just gnosko. And so it's in celebrating these internal things that we begin to know epigenosko, the fullness, the true knowledge, not some, you know, picture book knowledge, but the true knowledge, the living knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, of course, fruitful.
Well, I just want to say, I've watched it happen that people sacrifice their fruitfulness on the altar of knowledge. I've watched people, so I got to divorce this from observables. But so you've got a Christian and maybe a non-Christian, or somebody seeking, who knows. And the Christian is the non-Christian wants to say, "Oh, you're so smart." And the Christian doesn't shut that down. And it stops the non-Christian from receiving. Because it's not about smart. the non-Christian wants to say of the Christian, oh, you're so good. I'm not saying that they're not smart and they're not good. They are, okay? But because this kind of accepts that, it becomes an impediment to the non-Christian. Because it's not about how good or smart you are. It's about how much you believe and who you believe. The truth that you receive through belief. The truth is that when the realities of the nature of God are there, it has to be worn in humility. Because if it's not worn in humility, it will prevent those who would come. You look at Jesus, and he was the fullness of God in bodily form. And he operated in incredible humility. He didn't tell people things that he knew because they couldn't take it yet. Now, he could have shown off and he could have told them, here's how smart I am and bah, you know, here's truth that you can't even handle. Ha! And it would have been true truth. But it wouldn't have been true to his nature. His nature, which was humble. His nature, which fed them the little bit he could feed them. That they could maybe receive a little bit. And love him. It's not about how good he was. He was perfect. He was perfect. And perfectly humble in the presentation of it. So key.
It ends back to that, those elements ending in love. And of course, 1 Corinthians reads this way, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm just a noisy gonger. If I have a gift of prophecy, know all mysteries, and have all knowledge and faith to move mountains, but do not have love, nothing. And if I give my, this is really painful. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. What a tragedy. Yeah. To do all of this without the end result of what you were talking about. Getting to the place where love is the motivating force. It's all for nothing.
Well, let me just say, if you start with faith, if you start with true faith, true faith is from him. It's all about him. It's his stuff. It's his word. It's his nature, which solidifies. And it's his word that brings the faith to accomplish the thing. It's his faith that gets expressed. It's faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these ones is love. There's no doubt about it. And the reality is, you want to express something? Express love. Yeah, express faith and express hope and express all the other, you know, confidence in the natures of, and that's good. That's all good stuff. But let me just tell you something. All in the cloak of humility and all under the auspices of love. That's what wins in the end. Love wins. In the end, be always ready to be humble. Be ready to come alongside. I got to tell you, I've seen it work so many times. Just, I don't care if you know a lot more than they or if you're a lot more advanced than they. You are, okay? I got it. Okay, good. Come alongside them. Put yourself right in their mud puddle. Their personal mud puddle. Sit right down in that. Be godly sitting in their muck with them. Love them there. From there, there's a place where life goes forward. So let me just say to you, one of the things that the Lana's word means to me, one of the things is ministry and business ventures that go and keep on making other ministry and business ventures. That's one. I told you about it. Another one is, I believe that God has just release of his power to accomplish through you and me. And we've seen some. And I want to see more. And I believe that we're called to see more. The thing, I guess, that I maybe don't feel like I've adequately stressed is these two things. I guess this is what I want to just leave you with really, really quickly here. Again, this is Peter, Acts chapter 3, verse 16. It's the name of Jesus which is established. It's your foundation. It's the name of Jesus, your foundation. His nature. How he is. How you know his love. That's your basis. Can I just tell you something? On the basis of his love, you can expect that he wants to do something good for whoever it is you're with. For sure. He probably wants to heal them. He probably wants to save them in some fashion. He wants to free them. True. But then, it's the faith through him that pours out the power. And I want to encourage you. Get his word. Hear him. Believe. And expect to see. Father, I just thank you for these, your precious ones. These who believe. I speak strength to them in their inner person. Lord, I pray that you would pour into them your word, that you would pour into them faith to believe, that you would pour into them your promises, that you would pour into them faith, hope, and love. And I pray, Lord, that through them, you would accomplish mighty things. Lord, I pray that each one of us, guys, do this. Be with me here. Father, I pray that with each one of us, in the various circumstances of our lives, that you would give us a promise to believe, to be fervent in prayer, to be diligent in adding to our faith, all the way to the end of love, poured out, accomplished your will. I bless these, your precious ones. Speak to us. Cause us to see the fruition of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for being here. Much, much grace to you all. Again, I want to thank you. If you want to see some more pictures or videos of the Africa stuff, I've got a number of pictures and videos that Doris has sent. Thank you for participating in that, both financially and prayerfully. Really appreciate it, and grace to you all. Grace to you all. God bless you.
One other element of good news is that we do not have a food pantry this week. We don't have to tear the place apart today. We get an extra week off this time around.